And all of this come out of what was said on Friday about the Auditor General's report and
that is not true, Mr. Allen, and the procurement practices,
which that you don't want to deal with. So you can come with all sorts of distractions when you know full well that the country has long recognized that we have too many faulty pipes. The country has long recognized that we need to build tertiary level sewage plants and stuff like that. I mean, were you telling us in new? But you, what is new is the information in that report that you don't want to deal with.
Mr. Ellis, listen to me, you know. And I've been preaching this for the longest time.
Well, you're preaching
the now. Problem is, was not building a salt plant. We had 60% of water that we were not using. The problem was to capture that 60%. And to capture that, we need to lay pipes. We even had pipes. I had them down in the gully in vines, like them can get laid down there.
All right.
We managed to lay some pipes, and they say it reduced the water wastage by 10%.
Okay.
Let us lay some pipes and get up to 95% the market standard. Then we won't want the salt plant. We won't want nothing. So to sort of blame it on all different types of things, the pipes need to get laid. Let's get all on right, laying the pipes.
Let's
and
move
get
on.
The water and stop trying to put it
on. Let's move on. Water. Thank you very much. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, morning.
Yes, good morning, sir. Mr. Ellis.
Hey.
This is my first thing.
Welcome.
But yeah, I decided I just joining from off the block, right? But I met time to make sure I listen to you on a regular. Now, two problems that I had. One is a continuance of what one of the guys was saying with the water and the increasing population in the country. Right? The government will go fix that water problem first. Me now, I'm a farmer, and I know the water problem. Now, going back, I want to seek right back into the COVID-19 pandemic that this country now going through, and what it was going through weeks and months before. Now, you got the honest connection from me out here on the streets. The government is through our constituency houses and constituency leaders. And if you're living in a community where you didn't vote, not on a list, and they're actually using the same list of voting to contact their people out here in society. Now, I live in a house with three young children, and I realize a small portion of the people in my community not getting contacted nor not getting anything from our constituency leader in the close proximity. I didn't know that anything during this pandemic from that constituency.
What were you looking for? What did you need?
Anything else that the other person needed. The little hampers, the little gift things. You know what I mean? I see them that it was being handed out in close proximity to me. And yet still, I only get to realize later after speaking to one of the persons now doing the work for the constituency house.
Right.
I only get to realize, well, hey, we working off a list. And when
how would they know how you voted? They may know who you support.
Right.
But they don't necessarily know how you voted.
They didn't know how you vote, but they know who you support.
Right.
The thing about it is, if you publicly support one party, and another person publicly supporting this party, it's easy to differentiate who's who, right?
Yeah.
But in all, I want to know if you, as a constituency leader in this country, you want to be the person, there's always more elections. Why wouldn't you then even lend a helping hand to the person?
And
go ahead.
There are some people who real petty. Which means there are those who can rise above the fact that you might not have supported them and say, look, you're all Barbadians, you know. I was elected not to serve just one set of people, but to serve all.
All.
And to do so, to look after the people who are really in need, all right? But if you can also have an individual whose mindset is such, listen, if I know that you didn't support me, you ain't getting anything. But that's part of the danger associated with putting the money in the hands of the politicians to distribute. Correct. Now, having said that, you can set up another system and a public official may have to distribute the material and the money, or just the material. And they too could exercise that option and say, well, for one reason or another, you're not going to get any. But I think that you if you're going to put money in the hands of people to distribute, it is better to avoid putting the politician in that kind of situation. Because even when they do their best, you still have people who can interpret it otherwise. So in your case, I mean, you're saying a small group of people in your neighborhood have been forgotten or ignored.
Correct.
And so how does that make you feel?
Honestly, I don't think that because of the pandemic, anybody could be, this virus could take anybody. It could be me, it could be you, it could be anybody, right? I don't see why would you attach a political agenda to it. And I'm just the guy off of the corner, right? But I made this time out to speak to you. And I'm telling you, I don't know why would you make it political. I thought that when if I sponsor you to go out there and help people, I don't see why would you take that funding and help your people that you say were in your constituency. You should have helped every single person in the neighborhood. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I agree with you. But as I said, you're dealing with human nature. And some people are petty. Some people get something in their head about you. Sometimes you don't even have to tell them something. Somebody else tells them, oh, he said X or he said Y. And on the basis of that, they cut you off.
Correct.
You know, and to me, the best politicians that I know are those who have been able to go beyond the people who supported them and embrace even those that did not. And at the end of it, what happens is that they get more support than they had the last time. When you're too petty and you believe that, you know, you need to get even with somebody because they didn't support you and that sort of thing. That, to me, it doesn't make sense, but that's how some people are made up.
Well, okay. David, that's what we feel. Respectfully, you see that I have not mentioned my constituents.
And I'm glad that you didn't.
Right.
Respectfully, I prefer to leave it that way, but that person must know, you know, who they are, anyhow.
Right. They know exactly who they are.
Yes. All right.
In any case, enjoy your day, man. Thanks.
Thanks for calling. Yeah. Now, this person wants some assistance from the person who was driving the number 3 ZR van last night because the person left a bag with his clothes on the ZR last night, and it is said that the driver drove off so quickly that he was unable to get the driver's attention. So if that driver is listening, or if anybody knows of this bag which was left on the number 3 ZR last night, you can contact this number, 267-5528. That's 267-5528 or 271-5683. 271-5683. That's 5683. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's 11:47.
That's right. Brother Ellis, how are you, man? Where were you Sunday? You were running from all these blows on Sunday?
What blows occurred on Sunday?
The brass tacks.
No, I don't normally do brass sats on Sunday.
Oh, well, sorry you done on the air on Sunday. I mean, Corey did an excellent job. He did an excellent job. I like his style on Sunday. He was more on the defensive side and let the callers do the attacking. Right? And I find that he was pretty okay. I don't mind, I would prefer you to be there in that type of situation, the situation in which the callers were calling about. But two things, Mr. Ellis, I want to ask you. Two things, right? One, crime. And two, the mailbox issue. But let me start with crime first, Mr. Ellis. If I ask you, when was the last hanging took place in Barbados, would you be able to tell me?
I think it happened in the 1980s.
1982, I think it was. 82 or 85, by subject for correction. I say this to say that, Mr. Ellis. When are we going to put a drastic step and bring back hanging? When? I don't know when, so I'm asking you who was a fair
person. I don't know. I can't answer that.
Is hanging going to come back?
I'd be surprised if it does.
You support hanging?
In certain circumstances.
Well, I speak indifferent to you. I support it 1,000%. Mr. Ellis, it is so annoying every day. Every day you turn on your radio station, you turn on the other radio stations, you know, you're hearing this body get gunned down. This other body get gunned down. All you're hearing is gun, 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 gun. Like if we are in the Wild West, you know, and it's like it's free, you know. That if me and Mr. Ellis got a quarrel today on brass tacks, I get up my bike tomorrow morning when Mr. Ellis going to his car and gun him down. You know, that's the impression I get, and I don't know who you got turned to bring my hand in. Let me ask you a question, Mr. Ellis, as a journalist. When we set up the Privy Council, right?
We didn't set up the Privy Council.
No, not set up. When the Privy Council come into play, was that, you correct me if I'm going wrong, was that an organization set up where we could mostly handle our legal side of crime and so on?
The Privy Council... We used to send appeals to the Privy Council prior to joining the Caribbean Court of Justice, which is now our final court of appeal.
Right. I understand that. So therefore then, I say that to say this. Why then they need to go up to England to the Privy Council to get...
Because that was the final court of appeal at the time.
And would you agree with me, Mr. Ellis? If I had said, look, dealing with the Privy Council in England is a waste, because I look at it as this fact, England, they have their own issues. They have their own issues to deal with. Why they're going to be concerned about Barbados?
But we've gone past that, sir. Barbados has gone past that.
So then why we're hanging then?
We're not hanging. Part of the reason that we are not hanging is that there is a strong anti-hanging lobby in Barbados. There are many people who don't agree with it. In addition to that, Barbados signed on to conventions and stuff like that where, you know, we've committed ourselves to such a degree that we don't have the kind of latitude that we previously had when it came to
hanging. And that is why you're hanging.
In addition to that, there are countries around us that we do business with, and those more powerful countries in Europe and in particular, they have very strong views against hanging, and they make those views known to Barbados in various ways. So it's a mix of factors come together.
I, uh, Okay, can you resign yourself from some of those agreements that you signed to?
Well, some of the people that you will depend upon to do that are also opposed to the death penalty.
Well, so, look, this thing really confounded me, though. Listen, when we sign on to that thing, right, when we sign on to that, I tell myself that ain't smell too good, you know. That ain't smell too
you
good.
You talk to me about how you feel in your neighborhood today. What is motivating you, pushing you to be so concerned about this?
Well, Mr. Ellis, the backbone behind all of this is that I see crime. I read crime. I hear crime on our radios almost.
How has it changed your life?
Mr. Ellis, yeah. It changed my life to a point where I want to see hanging return. Ain't no business about that.
But you still, apart from COVID, under normal circumstances, you would still be going out and mingling with people and that sort of thing.
No, I don't do too much going out.
Go home early.
You hit the armor pioneer because of the said crime. He said crime.
Okay.
Is what got people far for it. You don't go much neither. I don't think you just go. I guess.
But you pick and choose where you go, though. You know, there are certain.
You got to pick.
There's certain gatherings before COVID that you wouldn't be seen at. Once you see certain people in a certain age group and stuff and how they're dressed and what they're drinking and smoking and that sort of thing, you're not going to be there.
But look, Mr.
We gotta go because we got to do the regional roundup, okay? But you can hold on if you want to. Thanks. This is Down to Brass Tacks. It's 5 minutes after midday. Yes, sir.
Yes, Mr. Ellis. Getting back to you. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The other issue I wanted to raise to you is the mailbox.
Yes.
Mailboxes. Now, Mr. Ellis, if I say to you or ask you, all throughout the years, you come along as a little boy, you know, raised up, even around the Christmas time and so on, you know, you could recall your parents encountering big problems with receiving mails.
Well,
no,
that
no,
might not be so, but
no.
Times change.
The answer to that is no, though, Mr. Ellis. No. I am saying this. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to make it clear here on the air. I'm a BLP supporter. I am going to bring it clear to the air. I have nothing to hide. But when licks is for you, you will get licks. Now, I say this to say that. Implementing the mailbox system now is at the wrong time, Mr. Ellis. You got the COVID. You got over 20,000 strong gone home. That additional $90 plus 90, some going at 90, some going at 45, around that price range. Mr. Ellis, a poor person forking out $90 to buy a mailbox in these times, Mr. Ellis, is hard. It is hard. Mr. Ellis, if you don't get a mail, If you don't have one of the postbox on your house, what's wrong with still transmitting that mail to the person? Furthermore, you're threatening and saying things like, if you don't have a mailbox on your house, the mail is going to return. This is so, I consider this, Mr. Ellis, I consider this barbaric. And I hide my feelings about that. Miss Mia Motley, the Prime Minister of Barbados, my Prime Minister of Barbados needs to relook that.
Okay.
She needs to relook that. And another thing, Mr. Ellis, another thing. Bajans, vision, you know, are people who don't forget. You remember, I guess you remember the 50,000 strong that the march at Broad Street against Sandyford.
So you really believe that this is such a big issue?
Well, Mr. Ellis, this is a big issue.
Is that so?
Mr. Ellis,
why?
Listen, I can tell you this here. If you was to keep Rastops running off your next door for strictly calls about the issue of mailboxes, for 2 hours, no other calls but this, you'll be surprised, Mr. Ellis. you'd be surprised.
I surprise all I know.
Well, you'd be more surprised. Mr. Ellis, there are lots of struggling people in this country. And some of these leaders, some of these people in high positions have to sit down at the table and know when is the right time to bring these things.
But what is so wrong about the timing? I don't understand.
Well, yes, Clint, you just know the timing. You got near 30,000, you got over 30,000 gone home due to the fact of COVID.
How much it costs to put up to buy a mailbox?
Some is 40, some is 80.
Which one are you buying? 40?
Ma, I can't buy none. But listen, Mr. Ellis, look, serious though, right? I am very, very annoyed. There's two things that really she and my prime minister annoy me about. The mailbox issue, and one, the other one, when she said in her conference speech there a few weeks ago, when she mentioned she can bring on board people to help work with the finance situation. She called Mr. Owen name. She mentioned Mr. Sandiford, Mr. Sandiford. And then, you know, you have to
why are you so upset?
But Mr. Ellis, I'm putting this to you. If I drive a ZR bar, if you see me driving a ZR van, and I zigzagging and doing cradle and rocking and whatnot, you can get my van? Man, answer me, yes or no?
I might not, but somebody else, somebody who wants to be in a van that zigzags will be in it.
You are not going to get it because you value life. You are not going to get in my van because you value life. I'm saying this to say that. The Prime Minister sit down and watch how this country was sinking. What are you going to bring back that dead horse for? What are you going to bring on board for?
All right, sir. We're going to move on. Thank you very much. This is down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes, sir.
My name is Matt Claren, older retired builder. How are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm thankful to be alive. Looking forward to my 84th birthday.
Very good. When is that?
Sometime in next month. Hopefully, I will get there.
Yes.
Not in the best of health. Sometime ago, I left a message and asked to call you. Sometime I want you to give me a call. Okay. But what I really call about? I spend my time these days listening to Brass Tack, and I thoroughly enjoy it, especially when you're on. But I don't call in. But what I'm calling about today, I called in about construction. I spent close to almost 70 years in construction. And when I hear people say that construction only benefits certain people, I think that is a myth. And as far back, I started to work since 1951. And as far back as the 1960s, there were a few prime ministers, including the late Earl Barr, Tom Adams, and Bernard St. John. They all loved construction. But my main point is construction is the most vital factor to any economy anywhere in the world. It stimulates progress and it helps people. It does not only help the people who finance it. It filters right down to the people who sell Morby and bread fish here. So I don't think it's fair when some people call and say that construction only helps certain people. I don't think it's really a fair comment.
I take your point about the trickle-down effect of construction. But I think the concern that I've raised has to do with the large builders, the large construction entities in the country, and the extent to which we have seen a situation here where... Yeah. It looks as though only a certain category of person has been able to thrive in that area, a certain complexion, and that what you want is for them to be able to exist, because they are Barbadians too. But at the same time, you also want to see some movement where other people can also grow in that area. Now, the truth is that if you're to grow in the construction field, you're going to also have to expand through the region. And the more people that we have in the area, in the field, the more we will have to reach out to other people within CARICOM and do other jobs. But that this is part of the re-engineering, because trust me, you know full well that people on the ground look at these things and they talk about them. What I'm saying isn't something that is new. You hear it often.
I do agree. But Mr. Ellis, do you know that there's a big risk in construction? I have done some very large projects in Barbados. Yeah. I had to put in my house in order to get $10 million. I've done quite a few $1 million projects. You have to buy a bond. And when you have the bond, you have to put sometimes, let's say you have a contract for $4 million. You have to buy a bond for $400,000, 10% of that contract.
Right.
And if you are small, if you don't have the resources, you wouldn't get that bond. But you see, these are people that we talked about. They have the resources to get the bond. And that's why they get the contract.
But the truth of the matter is that the resources exist within Barbados.
It is trying
to find the mechanism through which you can actually mobilize those resources so that you can actually move to change the complexion of what we are seeing here. That, I mean, it cannot be right.
I do agree with you.
Is how can we make that difference?
What can we do? Mr. Ellis?
Mm-hmm.
As far back as 1973, because I said I was in construction almost close to 70 years.
Right.
A group of small contractors, some of them has passed on, though they're very few of them living now. There was a fellow called Saltzman from the United States or maybe came here. I think it was called Factory was at that time. And they tried to set up what you kind of cooperative venture like what I'm here talk about now.
Yes.
Small Builders Association. And we got together. It lasted for 1 year. And within 1 year, it faded away. You know why it faded away?
Why?
Because they have decided, well, okay, if there's one contract over there, we all will tender on it. And we will stay up among, because there were a few black contractors at that time. But then, you know, everybody started to break for themselves. Break for themselves campaign. So that died a natural death. So when I hear about this corporate venture, I hope that it succeeds. But believe me, we are selfish as far as we're concerned, especially. I hear NASA daily. And I tend that sometimes to agree, although I don't agree with everything he say, because he's a very good friend of mine. But we are selfish, Mr. Ellis. We are all for ourselves. We are not very cooperative when it comes to that. And you know, today you can't identify one black big building contractor in Barbados.
But that's the point I was making from the very beginning.
So where's the problem, Mr. Ellis?
There is a problem, and I'm saying that it requires, first of all, a recognition
that you don't get
that it is a problem, and then to understand why this is so, why it continues, why other people can come from scratch and become big, and yet that can't happen there. The last major firm in the construction sector
was Neol.
Well, no, I think I would put Rayside wasn't involved.
Rayside was more in construction. Yes, he was. Yeah, he was. Oh, he did badly. There's no doubt about that. I don't care who gets by all sides.
And I'll tell you this.
He was a very wonderful gentleman.
It doesn't go without notice, right? That it is the government of the country that awards the contracts.
Yes, I agree.
You know?
But you believe, are there something, I don't know, did nepotism do stepped into, you know, Mr. Ellis?
There may be some of that, but at the end of it all, I remember years ago, before the government changed, asking, but why is this thing structured this way? And some friends of mine said, well, these are the only people who can access the capital. And usually what happens is they access this capital by linking up with people from abroad.
Yes.
All right?
Yes, I agree with you.
So that they can mobilize that capital all on their own.
But I'll tell you something, what I would like to see, though. In all that, we can get fairness. I think it goes far back as Richie Haynes. I think you talked to the late Richie Haynes. I would like, before I go, to see something called a contractor general. Overseas contracts.
Yes, somebody else is suggesting that.
Eh?
Somebody else here is saying the same thing, that they believe having a contractor general would make it better.
I think we would get
better.
Fair play, because I believe up to this day we don't get fair play as far as contractors.
Yeah, you got to ask whether the Office of Contractor General works in Jamaica, how it works.
Oh, that is true. All right, Mr. Ellis, thank you. I just will put it out, but I left the number at the office yesterday, so I want you to give me a call. There's something I want to discuss with you, all right?
All right. You're listed, right?
No, I need the number at the some time ago. I have your number, but I wanted there's something personal I want to discuss with you. But I will call and leave the number at the desk.
No, just stay on the line, and Michelle Brathwaite will take the number from you, and she will then pass it on to me. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good afternoon, Miss Ellis.
Hi. Good afternoon.
This is a first time caller.
Your voice sounds familiar, though.
I called before, a long time ago.
Okay.
How are you, doctor?
I'm okay.
Okay. What I'm calling about, earlier you had a caller who was talking about something that happened in his constituency.
Yes.
About the things that I'm sharing out.
Yes.
I suffer from that same problem.
When?
A few weeks ago. 4 or 5 weeks ago. Now, I live in a constituency that only have, there are only 3 houses.
No, you mean a constituency or a gap?
But I live in a gap.
You live in a gap with 3 houses.
They're
in a constituency in Barbados that only got 3 houses.
Sorry. I'm in a gap that has 3 houses.
Yes.
Right? And a young man that to me, I heard about these food hampers that were given out by this person that's supposed to be running, you know. And this young man went into my gap a day, a Saturday evening. And he asked us, my wife, not me, if we didn't get any food hampers. He asked my next door neighbor. And then he said, okay, tomorrow evening y'all should get a hamper. We can make sure y'all get a hamper. This is 5 weeks. We haven't heard anything from anybody. And nobody went back. And I'm a diabetic. My wife is a diabetic. And we have been...
Well, you could call the constituency office, because
I don't know the number. This constituency, this doesn't have a constituency office. This is someone.
All right, but I don't need too many details. But what I will say to you is that there's got to be a party that the well, first of all, when it came to the distribution of some of the material in the COVID period, that material, some of it was distributed by sitting MPs. Now, there may be other material for distribution that is coming from people who are trying to get in the House.
Right.
And therefore, you need to speak to the political party that person is hoping to represent. Call them and find out tell them what's happening, so that you're likely to be getting hampers both from the people in office and those who are looking to gain office. So that's what you're telling me suggests that.
But I don't want to tell you the other part of it, because anyhow.
You got to tell me that off the air.
I got to tell that off the air. next thing I want to say, another caller you had calling a speak about the Prime Minister chosen people to be on a committee, finance committee, and things like that. I'm talking about who they choose. But people... You know, I think we people in Barbados or in the Caribbean, as a matter of fact, got a whale. It is R, the RNI people, the constituents, who are really always against one another, you know. I don't think the politicians will be against one another. It's we that who want to fight one another. And when the people give the things to distribute, it is the people in the constituency who fighting for the politicians that look and see who side you're on and all that sort of thing. It's not the politicians. I don't blame the politicians for those things. The politicians don't do those things. All the politicians, I tell people always, hey, all the politicians are friends, because they went to school together, they went to university together, some of them married one another, sister, and all that sort of things. And we need to realize that sort of things. And all of them could, we don't see that politicians is cross the side, comfortable, across the floor, comfortable, and go over on the other side two or three times. We need to realize that those kind of things, though. When the prime minister pick somebody from the other, we can jump in and want to quarrel. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that is our business. What we want to see the country run, and that's the important thing. If somebody from the other side come and help the prime minister run things properly, I satisfy, thankful. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello? Welcome to the program. It's 12:24, so we have just about 5 minutes or so before we go to the news. Starcom Network latest. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Yes, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, good. Yeah, I just quickly want to touch on, because you only have 5 minutes or so before you go to the news, in the area of transportation. I was watching the People's Business last night on the television, and I want to know what is your opinion, basically, on the area of transportation. Do you think that certain attitudes and habits of some of these drivers, both in the government-owned transport board and the privately transportation system, how do you see that affecting certain members of the public?
I think you know full well that there's a lot that is happening in that sector that is unacceptable.
Right.
It is well recognized that there's a certain degree of lawlessness and lack of discipline and stuff associated with the sector.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you see it?
Well, I don't know. It goes, I saw some recent attitudes being displayed by some drivers of the government-owned transportation system. Like, for instance, there was one incident with an elderly gentleman was by a bus stop. He put out his hands at the actual bus stop with his mask on and what have you. And this driver threw his hand in the air. People were obviously very annoyed with the driver. Drove right past the old guy because he had to take his time getting up with his stick and what have you. Mm-hmm. And that's just one of many things. I took the license number and I complained the transport board. Okay? But apparently nothing was done because you still see the guy up and down in the same particular bus that I took down the number of. And in relation to the private transportation system, I don't think enough is being done with these guys. You have the guy that is the head of that. He will come and say one thing on the television. But the reality of the situation as it stands, they're still doing as they like. A lot of them drive the vans up and down, the dragging and the things that they do on the road and what have you, without any kind of protection on their face. And they're not really adhering to the protocols that have been put in place by certain health officials.
But it means so that the country is incapable of policing them. Because in all of this, you need to be able to identify the people who are delinquent. Mm-hmm. And then take appropriate action. But Barbados is weak in that regard. This is where we've seen that over the years.
Well, perhaps they need to look in those areas and try better to police these areas that people think that it's a free-for-all now because of what has been said by the PM and others. In the areas,
you know,
talk cheap.
Talk is cheap.
Yeah, you know, that's right. Talk is cheap. You got to put the action where the talk is, and that has not been done so far as I can see.
All right, sir. Thanks for your contribution. Starcom Network News is next.